If you're up here, find Psalm 25, Psalm in chapter 25. And I want to just start a study and just be very practical for us, if you would, on the emotional pain. And this is a series, it's actually a book that my brother wrote, and it's over there. I've been teaching a counseling class and for Brother White over in Canada, and I decided to use some of this material as a help, and this Lord has put it on my heart that we would go through it together. I've encouraged some of you to read this as you've gone through some troubles and trials, and I don't know, some of you might have listened to me, some of you might not have. If you did, I think it would be a help to you, and so for those of you who haven't read it yet, I want you to get the material. I want you to learn about this and to learn how to deal with the pains that we have emotionally. It's a reality that each and every one of us have physical pains, right? That Job 14:1, that man that's born to woman is a few days and full of trouble, and there's no doubt about that. That we can have physical pain, and that can be sometimes unbearable. Most people turn to different types of drugs. I mean, we live in a time where pills, popping pain pills is very common for people, and they get hooked on those just by physical pain. And but there's some pains that are deeper than just physical, right? That there's some pains that go very deep into our soul, and they can almost be a cancer to the soul, and can really eat people up, even save people. Right, even people who would claim to know Christ as their Savior, they can have emotional problems and they can have emotional troubles because life is full of troubles. All right, life is full of trials, and so we're going to just address those emotional pain. And emotional pain can be difficult because sometimes it's hard to explain to others. It is. It's hard to explain to somebody how you feel and truly be vulnerable. It is. When you explain to someone how you really feel and you were to be honest about what you really think, you make yourself vulnerable. And most emotional pain is caused by rejection. We've been rejected in some way, some fashion. And because of that rejection, it's caused emotional pain. And so to be vulnerable is going to open us up to more rejection. And it makes it very difficult. It makes it very hard. And there's things in our lives that we don't want other people to know about. And so we'll bury them down deep and we'll carry them around and we'll allow them to affect our life. And the reality is that we can get good at putting on a facade, and we know what we're supposed to look like and we know what how we're supposed to act. But putting on a facade doesn't really take care of problems. And God can't really help us unless we're going to be honest, all right? God rejects lying, and He needs us to be honest. And many times, because we're vulnerable and because if we open ourselves up, we'll be defenseless, we can go on, and we get to a point to where we felt the pain that we have inside emotionally so long, and we've acted around the pain so long that we are good hypocrites. Right? We're good hypocrites. That's an actor. But we're a hypocrite. And instead of dealing with the circumstances, we have to act out. And if we had an open cut or a wound, and you had a friend that you were able to see that they have a gaping wound on their body somewhere, you would probably try to encourage them to take care of a gaping wound, like you're bleeding and it's getting all over people, and that's going to get infected. And it's going to be bad, it's going to be worse. And the reality is this, a lot of people have emotional pain, and their attitude and their actions and the way they respond and the way they act, it really is a result of an open wound that's never really been properly addressed. emotionally. It's never been properly addressed. And so the reason they act the way they do, and the reason they respond the way they do, and sometimes the reason they're closed off the way they are, and they only are going to allow themselves to open up to a certain point, is because they're not going to allow themselves to get hurt again or to be hurt deeper. And here's the problem. You can't properly love. You cannot properly love someone when there's certain areas of your life that you're closed off to them. You can't. You can't. If you're going to love someone properly, you're going to have to make yourself vulnerable. All right? God made himself vulnerable to us. I mean, he gave himself for us entirely. And so as we read through the scriptures, and we're not going to get very far this evening. We're just going to look at a few scriptures and kind of get just a little bit of groundwork for where we're going tonight. But because most people have experienced some pain to some degree emotionally, and it's unlike physical pain, and we can wear a mask and we can try to hide behind it. But the reality is that God really knows what we feel. And he cares about what we feel, and he wants to help how we feel. And as we read through the Bible, we get to the story of David, and we can read the story of David. I think most of us would be familiar with the story of David. And David wrote a great number of Psalms, and David was a great writer. He really honestly was. And this is what made him a great writer, is he was willing to bear his heart to God, and he wrote it down for us to see as well. And he talked to God, and he spoke to God, and he filled us in on how deeply inside he felt, how hurt he was, and the experience he had. And as we write, as we look at the Psalms, we look at King David and the Psalms that he wrote. He expresses his battle, honestly, with the emotions that he was feeling and the pain that he was feeling, and what he did about it. And we'll see all those things as we go forward. But I want us to look at the pain that David writes about. Look at Psalm 25 in verse number 16. He says, "Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me." Look at this. "For I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distress. Look upon mine affliction, my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred." That's how David felt. And quite honestly, that was a reality. I mean, David was one who very many times was betrayed. He was one that very many times, I mean, literally was hunted like an animal by Saul. I mean, without a doubt, he had great enemies that didn't just dislike him. They literally wanted him dead. That was what they wanted. And he knew that's what they wanted. Look over in Psalm 55, Psalm chapter 55. And it says this, just begin in verse number 1. "Give ear," Psalm 55, "give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me, hear me, I mourn in my complaint, and make noise." He was whimpering and crying because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. "For they cast iniquity upon me, in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, in the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me. The horror hath overwhelmed me." I don't think David's just writing for lyrical license. That's how he felt. Those were the circumstances of his life as he was hiding out in caves as men hunted for him. That was the pain of his heart. Go over to Psalm 109. Psalm chapter 109. And look at verse number 22. Verse number 22 says, "For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like the shadow upon it when it declineth. I am tossed up and down as the locust. My knees are weak, though through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. I become also a reproach unto them when they looked upon me. When they looked upon me, they shaked their heads. I want us to notice the words that David is using: desolate. That's how he feels: afflicted, troubled of my heart, distressed, pain, oppressed, terror, fearfulness, trembling, horror, overwhelmed. I mean, what a list of expressions. Come on, what a list of ways to describe what's going on in your life and what has happened to you and what has taken place in your life. And certainly, as he expresses himself there in Psalm 55, my heart is sore pained within me. And he metaphorically expresses in Psalm 109 in captivity as well, where he describes how he is wounded within. And it's a very interesting picture that he's painting, that it's not something anybody else probably can see on the outside. He probably looked fine, strong, and good, and a warrior, you know, on the outside. But within, King David, who was a great warrior, King David who slew giants, King David that slew his 10,000s, right? Within, this was how he felt. This is what he was going through. This is how he was feeling. He says he is gone like the shadows when it declineth. He said, "I just feel like I'm in darkness." He had retreated within himself to seek protection. He was secluded. He was cutting himself off from people that were around him. Do you understand what he's describing? Many times we just simply call depression. That's what he's describing. That's how we would. Oh, they're going through a battle of depression. Even in our culture, and we're going to get to this. We might even say that he is bipolar. If somebody was describing themselves like that to a medical doctor, or not a medical doctor, to a psychiatrist today, they would be diagnosed as being bipolar, and they'd be put on medication to help. So we can look in this and say, man, I wish there was someone in the Bible who knew what it was to be hurt emotionally, to be hurt within, to have the pains that I am feeling. I'm telling you, I think David might be able to relate to you a little bit. He might be able to relate to you a little bit. He says he is tossed up and down as the locust. He is being blown around. That's the idea of the locust. If you've ever seen a locust, if you grew up in the Midwest, you know exactly what a locust looks like. They have very flimsy wings, and if it's windy, they're just going to get blown. Right? They're not going to be fighting through the wind. They're just going to get blown around. And he's just saying, I am just tossed up and down. That's just my life. I'm not getting anywhere. I'm not getting further. I am tossed up and down. And it's showing that he was on an emotional roller coaster, really. That's where David was, and that's where David had gotten to this place. His knees were weak through fasting. His flesh failed of fatness. That'd be a great line to probably say, honestly, but that's not, he's not saying that like, hey, I lost weight, praise the Lord. That's not what he is saying here. He's telling us that he had lost a significant amount of weight over the issues that he was facing. The circumstances that were surrounding him, I mean, he had no desire to eat. Right? Come on. Think about what you know of people that are being diagnosed, people you work with. Right? Severe weight loss. Well, what would that be a serious medical issue, right? He was affected medically. It indicates that he believed that everyone that he looked at, as they looked at him, they were judging him. And they knew what had happened. Oh, I'm sorry. He says, I became a reproach, and they shake their heads. They shake their heads. Everybody that looks at me is judging me. Everybody knows what's going on the inside. Everybody knows who the real me is. Everybody is judging me, and they know what's happened to me, and they know I'm a fake. And I would suppose that people could identify in the day, and that even people in this room could identify with the expressions that David is using. And if you can't identify personally, I guarantee there's not a person in this room that has not had someone that they know close that has communicated things like this to you personally. Absolutely, everyone in here does. So this isn't something that's far from the culture that we live in, and it's not far from the very seat that you sit in, friend, that you can get to where you feel discouraged and depressed by the circumstances of life. And if we think about it just a moment, you could probably describe for us some of the pain that you feel, some of the pain that you've experienced, some of the hard times you went through. And it's interesting as we look at David and David's description of what was going on, and we seek the source, like, man, how could David, King David, I mean, a man after God's own heart. And that's very much an encouragement, isn't it? Come on, to hear a man after God's own heart felt like that. A man after God's own heart got to a point to where he was that discouraged. I'm telling you, there's hope for you. There's hope for me. To still be able to be profitable to God, because David was. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful God allowed David to share these things about himself with us, that we might be able to help. But David also kind of gives us the source of the problem. If we look back in Psalm 55, if you would, Psalm 55, David begins to share the source of the problem. And he says in verse number 12, look at verse number 12, says, look at this, this is so interesting. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. It wasn't somebody who I expected that hurt me. Then I could have borne it. I mean, we expect our enemies to attack us, right? I mean, we'd be on guard for that. They're the enemy. They are the enemy. That's why we call them the enemy, because we know they're going to attack. That's what makes them the enemy. But it was not mine enemy that reproached me. I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that I did magnify him, that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou. Mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. Yeah, that's who had brought himself against him. He says this of him, verse 14, we took sweet counsel together. We walked, look at this, we walked in the house of God in company. Literally someone he worshiped God with. That's who had turned on him in Psalm chapter 55. That's who had betrayed him. That's who had hurt him. Somebody that he trusted. Somebody that he says we were equals. I mean, we were yoked together, and at one time we were working together, and at one time we had sweet fellowship together. We were equals. We went to the house of God together, and we praised God together. And that's who betrayed me. It was somebody that I loved and cared about. I thought cared about me, and I thought loved me, and I thought was in fellowship with me. Look over back in Psalm 109. In Psalm 109, look at verse number 3. Well, look at verse number 1. Hold not thy peace, O God, of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. Verse 3. They compass me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself also unto prayer. Look at verse number 5. And they have rewarded me evil for good, and hatred for my love. David said, listen, it was literally somebody I loved, and I shared my love to, I showed in my actions toward them that I loved them, I cared about them, I did things for them, and they requited my generosity, my charity, my love toward them with evil. They turn it back on me, and they hurt me with it. And as we consider this, it's very puzzling that the pain that he felt was not of his enemies that he had. And David had a number of enemies, no doubt about that. But it was people that were close to him. It was not the people that he would have thought would have hurt him. It was that were the source of his pain. And as you look at David's life, David said it was someone close enough that they had attended church together. In David's case, as you look at David's life and David's story as a whole, probably the number one culprit of this pain, we could probably pin that on a guy named Saul. Now, if you know the story of David, probably the source of a majority of David's troubles came at the hand of a man named Saul, who was his father-in-law. Come on, that was his father. I mean, they were family. It was his king. It was a man that he had honored. It was a man that he had revered. It was a man that he had been through in difficult times. It was a man who fought alongside him and who he fought for, who he'd given it. He literally put himself in harm's way and fought for this man's kingdom and exalted him as a king, revered him as a king, loved him as his king, and cherished him as the leader of his life.
Yeah.
That's what David did. He did. And Saul returned that love with cruelty. Saul returned that love with hatred. Saul returned that love by throwing spears at him twice. No, not just to scare him. No, no, to kill him.
Yeah.
Saul literally, was his if you study Saul, Saul was a man that carried a spear. It's so interesting when David became the king. David said, "Listen, this is what I want to do. I want to train our young men to shoot the bow." Who used a bow in David's life? Jonathan. Jonathan used a bow and arrow. He said, "We're going to teach our young men to use the bow and not the spear." Because Saul used the spear for hatred, and Saul used the spear to try to destroy David. And Jonathan and David were very close, and he wanted the young men of his nation to have the heart of Jonathan and not the hatred of Saul that governed their lives. I'm telling you, Saul was very loved by David, but Saul became the great enemy of David. And I can imagine David writing some of these words that we've seen, and sitting in a cave alone at night as he would weep over them and feel the pain and the suffering of them, and wondering why this had happened, and wondering what it was that he had done, and how had he, and that's what a lot of people do, like, what have I done wrong, and how could it have been different? And why is what have I done to bring this self upon me? And why am I suffering? And we sit and we call them night questions. I mean, you can imagine someone who expresses the kind of pain that David felt, sitting around and asking a lot of night questions when he experienced abuse. When he experienced different hatred, when he experienced betrayal, when he went through conflicts, when people around him were dying because of the wickedness of Saul. I'm telling you, David knew what it was to experience pain. And we're going to take a couple weeks. I know our time is very much fleeting, and I definitely wanted to be able to take time to show you this videos and to pray. But we're going to take the next couple weeks, and we're going to just delve into the emotional pain that David felt and lived through and saw God give him victory over. That's important. That's important. Whether it's you or whether it's a friend of yours that you say, "Man, I want to help my friend in their pain," I'm telling you, God and God alone can give victory to the emotional struggles that we go through. And God's not interested in us trying to just put on our best face and, you know, just trying to put on makeup and make ourselves look good for church. And man, we just can't be honest about how we really feel. We just can't be open about that, because then everybody will judge us. And I just want you to understand that's not the God of heaven that's sitting around judging. And you say, "Well, everybody at church." No, not everybody at church is going to sit around judging you. you're lying to you. And I'm not trying to hurt you in that. I'm telling you, the pain that you're feeling right now is lying to you. Not everybody's going to sit around and judge you for the emotional distress. You're probably going to find that you're probably going to find greater love than you've ever known when you simply be honest with God. And that which is keeping you from really experiencing victory is their lack of honesty before God. What God caused David to be able to have victory was he was honest with God. He was honest about how the trials that he was going through. He was honest about the pain that he was feeling. And then he allowed God to be able to heal him. And I want you to know, whatever pain it is that you might have, or someone you know, and sometimes that's the kind. I'm not asking for myself. I'm asking for a friend. You know, it's not me. It's someone else. No, come on. Whatever pain you're feeling and you've experienced, you're going through. I promise you, God has victory in it, and God can help you in it. And we're going to look at some ways that God helped David in his distress and in the things he went through. Let's have our heads bowed and eyes closed tonight.